Thank you, Adam, and thank you all for welcoming us. And I am keenly aware, desperately aware of my need for the Lord's help and strength and grace as we spend a few minutes together here this morning. I take the preaching task seriously, and so I feel privileged, I feel honored, I feel sobered that you would welcome me here and exercise this task here this morning. May it be that God's word will affect us deeply. To that end, would you please open your Bibles to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, and I'm going to ask if you would please stand, even though I'm not able to at the moment, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word as an expression of respect and love and attention to his words. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul? And how long must I have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, and lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. Lord, may the meditation of our heart, may the words of our mouth be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. May your spirit have free access and powerful influence upon us all here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I sit before you this morning as a jar of clay. I am an aging, fragile vessel made out of dust in desperate need of the grace of God. I know Paul's words very well. With Paul, I have been perplexed. I have been afflicted. I have been cast down. I have quite literally been carrying death in my body. And yet, in Paul's words, I have been renewed day by the grace of God. I hope you don't mind if I give you just a little bit more by way of medical report so you can know a bit more of what's going on. I'm often told that I don't look sick at all. Appearances can deceive, I'm afraid. 3.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 incurable cancer that offered no hope of remission. Based on recent reports, it looks like the treatments are keeping my cancer at bay for the moment, sparing me from imminent death. But I still live with and have to take and receive treatments with life side effects and will need to for the rest of my life, however long the Lord gives me. Some of the side effects are serious. Some of them are almost amusing. I get hot flashes, and as a result, my face will while I'm preaching to you, probably at some point, turn beet red. I'll look like I'm a preaching tomato up here, and it just happens, and I just deal with it. And side effects, my legs are weak, I can't stand for long, and there are lots of other side effects as well, and other illnesses and ailments along the way. I've had a headache for the last 36 years, every day, all day long, due to a virus way back then. It's over 13,000 days in a row where I've had a headache all day long. My life has been touched by other sorrows, too many and varied to mention. But I'm not alone in this, am I? In Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said, "It is through many afflictions that we must enter the kingdom of God." It is through many afflictions that we must enter the kingdom of God. At the end of the day, nobody has an easy path. At the end of the day, nobody has an easy journey. So what I want to do this morning is to try to help comfort you, in the words of Paul, to comfort you with the comfort by which I have been comforted by God. How God has comforted me, I want to share that with you in the hope and prayer that it will comfort you and will bless you and will give you faith and you courage for your life. Now, I'm guessing that most of us, if not all of us, can feel with David's grief here in Psalm 13. This is one of the wonderful effects of the Psalms. They are echoes of our sometimes joyful and sometimes sorrowful cries of the heart. The Psalms echo our songs, and they express our sobs and our tears. Psalm 13 is a virtual eruption of desperate lament. To state the obvious, David's cry of "How long?" is a cry of sorely felt grief and of sorely tested and tried patience in the face of chronic and overwhelming suffering. I wonder how many of us have ever asked, "How long?" I would dare to say to you that "how long" expresses very much, I guess I wouldn't say the essence of the Christian life, that would not be accurate, but an ever-present reality in the Christian life. How long? It really expresses what's the reality for everybody. Go to the DMV. How long? Wait in line at the cashier. Call up your insurance company for some piece of information. How long do you wait for a live person? How long? I've had stretches over the last 4 years where I've gone to medical establishments every other day for months on end. Every time I've gone to a hospital, there's been a waiting room. There should be a sign posted at these places. Sign that says something like, "You are entering into the twilight zone. You are entering into a place where time no longer matters. This is a place where time stands still." How long? You might argue that life is a waiting room. I can't think of any part of my life, not any part of my life, that is not attached to a waiting room. I am waiting for my healing. I am waiting for family needs, for the conversion of loved ones and friends, for finances to work out. I am waiting for God to lead me to know what to do with the rest of my life. I am waiting with a longing for true justice and peace on earth. I am waiting with longing for the return of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the needs and longings that make me cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord?" And I'm in good company here because the ancient people of God throughout the Old and New Testament, they cried out, "How long?" time and again. And Psalm 13 may be the most poignant, it may be the most moving, the most affecting of all the "how long" texts of Scripture, except that spoken by our Lord, as we'll see in a few minutes. In our text, David is in life's waiting room. As we look at Psalm 13, one thing to notice right from the start is that the heading attached to the psalm by very ancient Bible scholars says what? "To the choir master, a psalm of David." In other words, this is a psalm of, that is, written by David, but it's not just for David. It is to and for the choir master, which means that this "how long" lament is meant to be sung in and for the public assembly of the ancient Israelites, with the choir taking the lead, which means that, according to God's word, when we gather together, as we have done here this morning, it is entirely appropriate and sometimes even needful for us to express our sorrows, however we may need to do it, but express our sorrows together as the people of God. A couple of us were talking earlier about the lack of lament songs in churches today. How many lament songs do you know? You sang a couple this morning, but that's unusual. My main point today is this: God's people need to speak or sing their sorrows to God when their hope is dim and the wait is long. God's people need to speak or sing their sorrows to God when their hope is dim and the wait is long. And with that in mind this morning, I want to share five stepping stones, if you will, through the valley of grief that can keep us from a pit of despair and deliver us into a place of hope. And those stepping stones are lament, whether in word or song, that leads to prayer, that leads to remembrance, that leads to hope, that leads to Christ. Let's begin with lament. Lament happens when we express our deep sorrows over life's losses and life's crosses, when we grieve out loud, expressing visibly and audibly the sorrows of our life, either to God expressing them or to others. Take another look at David's profound lament in verses 1 and 2. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul? And how long must I have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" This is a loud lament. There are four "how longs" in six verses, plus an implied fifth one in verse 2, plus a "will you forget me forever," making six times in six verses that David laments the length of time that it's taking for God to come and help him. That is intense lament. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but in ancient Hebrew literature and worship, repetition is used for the sake of emphasis. In Hebrew poetry and practice, you emphasize by repeating. Now, I emphasize by looking at all the yellow highlighters in my notes, or by saying things in different ways so that you'll pay attention to it. But in ancient Hebrew poetry and worship, you emphasized by repeating. So, for example, if I say to you, God is holy, what am I saying? I'm saying God is transcendently holy. He is other. He is different. He is perfect. If I say to you, God is holy, holy, I am adding emphasis and force to it. I am saying God is holy in an absolute way, in a unique way, in a glorious way. But then if I say to you, as the scripture does say more than once, God is holy, 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 I have raised the matter of emphasis and importance. I am saying to you, God is transcendently holy in a way that nobody else even begins to compare. He is uniquely, he is gloriously, he is magnificently holy. And he is all of that. But when we come to this psalm and we find David in six verses crying out, how long? How long? How long? How long? By that emphasis, we are being shown that this experience of lament that David is feeling is an almost incomprehensible and agonizingly full of sorrow. David, it's hard to imagine a man being in deeper sorrow and lament than what David is expressing here. How long, how long, how long? Now we've got to ask the question, why was he so full of grief? What was it that was producing anguish in his heart? I'd suggest to you that David gives us five reasons why he is tormented by a long-standing grief over his ongoing sufferings. Five reasons. First, he asks how long because he feels long forgotten. We see this in verse 1 where we read, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? David is feeling as if God is neglecting him and has forgotten him. Now, if you are an excellent, fine-tuned, well-refined theologian, you might be tempted to say to David, now, David, bite your tongue. Don't say things like that. You know better than that. God doesn't forget anything. He is omniscient about all things, present, past, and future. But if David were here, he would respond that that may be all well and good, but the truth is that when sorrows and needs go on and on and on and on and on, we can know in our head that God has not forgotten, but not feel that in our hearts. When the sufferings go on and on and on, we wonder, has God forgotten me? Next, he asks, how long? Because it feels like God has gone into hiding. We see this in verse 1, where we read, how long will you hide your face from me? David feels like he's in the middle of a miserable cosmic game of hide and seek. When I read this text, it makes me think of the days when our kids were young and they'd be playing hide and seek, and one of the older kids would find the perfect place to hide, and the younger child would get more and more frustrated by the minute because he couldn't find the older sibling, and the older sibling kept just in hiding. Have you ever felt like God was in hiding? That he was hiding his face from you? I have felt it. Next, he asks, how long? Because he feels alone with his ignorance. Look at verse 2. How long must I take counsel in my soul? See, David is tired of being his own counselor. He's weary of feeling alone with his own thoughts and interpretations and worries and cares and plans, all of which feel to be pointless. In his own soul, he's asking, what is going on and why is this happening to me and how do I fix this and how do I get out of this? What am I supposed to do next? This is the grief of cluelessness. Stuff is happening to me and I can't understand it. My friends here this morning, I know that feeling. Stuff has been and is happening to me. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. And you know the feeling. You're trying to figure out why you have cancer, or why your spouse abandoned you, your boyfriend or your girlfriend abandoned you, why God hasn't even given you a spouse, or why did you lose your job, or why did your parents fail you, why are you facing betrayal and temptation and sickness and deep sorrow and divorce or injustice or profound aloneness? Why am I feeling so desperately alone? Why do I feel like it's affliction pile on in my life? Not one affliction after another, but one affliction on top of another and another and another. We are weary of not having a clue as to the reasons that God allows what he allows. Then David asks how long, because he's simply tired of being sad. Look at verse 2. How long? How long must I have sorrow in my heart all the day? He's speaking here of just a deep sadness. I don't know how you can have your eyes open for longer than 20 seconds in this world without feeling sadness. And I'm not talking as a pessimistic, gloomy, melancholic puddle glum or Eeyore or whatever. Just as a realist living in a real world. It's a sad world. It's a glorious world, but it's a sad world. And David felt it. I've had days where at any point all day long, I could have cried. I feel like I'm always about 12 seconds away from a good cry. I'm tired of being sad. How long, O Lord? Next he asks, how long? Because his enemies, who also happen to be God's enemies, seem to be winning. This is in verse 2. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? He feels like he and all God's people are losing. Now, of course, we know that that's not true. God never loses. And none of these things are true. God never hides from us. His enemies never lose. God never loses. God always wins. But the reality is that grief can get a hold of us sometimes, and it can make us feel all the wrong things, and we can lament over it all. And in fact, the fact that God does know, and He does see, and He does have a reason, but then doesn't tell us what the reason is, and doesn't make Himself visible to us, that makes it all the harder, doesn't it? Because I know God sees me, but I can't feel that He sees me. I'm only being honest and real with you here this morning. This is the journey I've been on, and the journey I think we all eventually will be on. So what are we to do with all that grief? Well, David, it's fascinating. He didn't hide his grief. He didn't mask his grief. He didn't deny his grief. He spoke it and he sang it. When grief was strong and deep, he composed a song, sent it to the choir master, and said, "We got to sing this lament." That's counterintuitive to us. When we think of lament, we don't typically think of singing. But God's people need to speak or sing their sorrows to God when their hope is dim and the wait is long. And when we sing our sorrows to God, things begin to happen in our hearts. Something happens when we speak our sorrows, when we sing our sorrows, when God's people express their laments. Lament can lead to prayer, which leads to remembrance, which leads to hope, which leads to Christ. Let me just quickly pass through these here. First, lament leads to prayer. In verse 3, David moves from lament to prayer. How long, how long, how long gives way to consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, and lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Singing his sorrows led to three prayer requests that David offered to God. Consider me, answer me, and please light up my eyes. Please notice these are not long prayers. These are not eloquent prayers. These are not wordy prayers. They are short. They are simple. But they are all he needed. Lord, consider me. Lord, answer me. Lord, light up my eyes. Lament led to prayer. When we lament, when we express our sorrows, one of the things that happens is it triggers our prayers to God. It reminds us to pray. Lament leads to prayer, which leads to remembrance. Look at verse 5. After having cried how long over and over again, and that followed by prayer, David cries, but I have trusted, past tense, I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You see, singing his sorrows to God triggered memories of how God had dealt with him in the past. Lament led to prayer, led to remembrance. It reminded him of how many times in the past God had been generous and bountiful in his direction. This is why we need to speak and sing our laments, because it leads to prayer, and that prayer leads to a reactivating of our memory. The very act of lamenting and praying redirects us from grief to God and the process of healing begins. When I have been most weary and sad in recent years, I have turned to music, to song, to lament, in order to stir up my heart to pray and to remember His goodness. You see, I have shared with you my sorrows, my challenges, my laments. But how has God dealt with me? To use the word of David, He has dealt bountifully with me. Despite all the sorrows and all the trials and all the challenges, God has dealt abundantly and plentifully with me. This is a simple, sensational, wonderful fact. I have suffered long, yes, but the Lord has been good to me. I have felt at times like God was in hiding, with His face turned away, with His fingers in His ears, with His memory failing, but the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Please indulge me as I recount the goodness of God to me. I have been alive for 6.5 decades. God has been good to me. God has sustained me through it all. I have been poor, but I've never gone hungry. In all my afflictions, I have had access to all kinds of care. I still delight in the wife of my youth, together with my children and grandchildren. I have many dear and precious friends. I have enjoyed the fellowship and worship of the church for my entire life. I have been chosen by God from before time began. I am a blood-bought, redeemed, and forgiven sinner. He has taken away all my sins. I am beloved by the Savior. I have the hope of the empty tomb and God's promise of glory. I have received the Spirit's personal life-giving power. I have been immersed in the Father's everlasting care. I have shared in the Word of God, the Church of the Firstborn, the Fellowship of the Saints, the Holy Table of Remembrance. I have a great High Priest in heaven who is ever living to pray for me. My Heavenly Father has given me all these things. Isaiah 40 is mine. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That verse belongs to me. Romans 8 belongs to me. From the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To the last verse, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Ephesians is mine. God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Forgiveness, acceptance, grace upon grace, lavishing mercy, adoption into the family of God, the sealing of the Spirit. I am already seated in the heavenly places with Christ. I have experienced the forever love of God. All of this is mine. God has dealt bountifully with me. I may lament, I may grieve, but as I pray, it makes me remember how good He has been. Right to this very second. And the same goes for all of you. Whatever it is you're going through, or will go through. You will need to learn how to lament in such a way that it leads you to prayer and to remembrance of the goodness of God, which also leads you to hope. Look at verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart, this heart that has been crying over and over again, how long, O Lord? He says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You see what's happened? David has experienced reawakened faith and reawakened hope. Having contemplated how God had dealt bountifully with him, it awakened his hope to realize that God would do that again. I will sing to the Lord. I will. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is what happens when we sing our sorrows to God, when our hope is dim and the wait is long. But there's one more thought, and with this I'm done. Lament leads to prayer, which leads to remembrance, which leads to hope, which leads to Christ. Why do I say that? Well, it's because over in Luke 24, Jesus says that everything in the Psalms that is written about him must be fulfilled. Based on that text and on how many times Jesus and the early Christians claimed that the Psalms were actually referring to Christ, I believe that many, if not most, if not almost all of the Psalms, while they are the songs and the laments and the cries of David in one sense, David was just a foreshadowing of Jesus. Jesus, as much as David suffered, Jesus suffered more. And Jesus lamented. Hebrews says that he had many tears in the garden. He wept and cried. In Psalm 22, the psalmist says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a lament. Jesus lamented while he was here. He was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Whenever we think about our own sorrows and laments, we should remember Jesus, who suffered even more for us. And why did he do it? Well, he did it so that he could be a blameless and perfect sacrifice for our sins. And he did it so that he could be a great high priest who understands what we're going through, yet without sin, so that he might make intercession for us. Do you realize that as important as your prayer life is, there is somebody else's prayer life that is more important, and it's that of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is ever living to intercede for us. He knows what I'm going through. And he is praying for just the grace I need to make it all the way through to the finish line, whenever that may be. And the same is true for each and every one of you who knows and loves Jesus as your Savior. And if you don't love Jesus, there is no better time or day than today to bow your head before the living God and say, I need a Savior. I need Jesus, not just for my sufferings, but in one sense, maybe even more for my sins. I need a Savior. If you don't have that hope and that Savior, all you need to do is repent of your sins and trust in Him right now, right where you are, and walk home a new person in Jesus. How I pray that'll be the case. So may the Lord teach us how to lament in a way that does not lead to despair, but in a way that leads to prayer and remembrance and hope in Christ. And it will be to His glory and it will be to our everlasting joy. Let's pray. Father, I pray. I pray that your word will be fulfilled here. That this jar of clay will have carried the glorious good news of your word into hearts here today. Please, Lord, for the sake of your people and for the sake of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.